بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, this coronavirus that has happened here in the world today is perhaps the greatest crisis that we have experienced in living memory. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help, for His protection, and to save us all from it, to cure all those who are affected by it, and to save all those who are not affected by it. On the one hand, the stark and harsh reality is that this is a completely new virus, which means that there is nobody on the face of the planet who has immunity to this. This virus can potentially infect every single one of us, including me and you. We ask Allah for His protection. On the other hand, just today I saw a report from Italy of a 95-year-old woman who was infected and affected by it. She was in hospital and she is now recovering. So, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us His power, that life and death is from Him. Cure and illness is from Him. لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. محمد رسول الله. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His protection. Now, three things that I want to say to you, because there seems to be a lot of confusion, and I want to try to share my thoughts with you and dispel this confusion. First and foremost, all knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It is one of the great calamities of the Muslim ummah that we have fractured knowledge. We have broken up knowledge into what we call dini knowledge and dunyavi knowledge, knowledge of the religion and knowledge of the world. And we have separated these two, and may Allah protect us, those of us who consider ourselves to be oriented towards the religion, those of us who consider ourselves to be knowledgeable in the religion. Many of us look down upon what we call worldly knowledge. Now, this is a calamity. This is the biggest evil that we have done to ourselves, and this is the reason why today, scientifically speaking, we are so backward, which is absolutely, utterly shameful. I have mentioned this in other Fajr reminders, so I won't repeat some of the figures and numbers that I mentioned. But let me say this very clearly. This is a total misunderstanding of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave knowledge to the human beings, two kinds of knowledge. He gave us the knowledge of the Wahi through His Anbiya alayhim as-salam, and He gave us other knowledge through scientists, through technologists, through other human beings, some Muslim, some not Muslim, in order for us to run this world correctly and in a good manner. Now, it doesn't matter where the knowledge came from, eventually it comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who don't believe this, those who believe that the so-called dunyavi knowledge, the worldly knowledge, is to be looked down upon, and they don't and they talk disparagingly about scientists and doctors and engineers and astronauts and so on and so forth, a very simple question to ask them is, where do they go when their heart starts dancing to Michael Jackson's tune? If they have palpitations, if they have heartburn, if they have something like heartburn, which is basically acidity, if they have some issue with their health, where do they go to? Do they go to a mufti, or do they go to a doctor? And when they go to the doctor, do they even ask, is this doctor a Muslim? Is this doctor from my particular brand of Islam which I follow? Or do they go to the best doctor, irrespective of whether that doctor is a Muslim or a Hindu or a Christian or a Sikh or an atheist or what? What do they do? This is hypocrisy. Because if you want to bad talk something, then you have no right to use it, but we use it. Ask those people, if you can't see very well, what do you put on your nose? You put glasses. Where do those glasses come from? Where is that knowledge from? And so on and so forth. So please don't fall into this trap. This is a big, big misguidance which has been propagated and it has been put onto us. The reason I'm saying this is the other two things. As I told you, I'm going to talk about three things. First is this. So let us be very clear. All knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The two different kinds of knowledge which Allah gave us, alhamdulillah, both are required for us to live in this world in a way which is beautiful, which is harmonious, which is beneficial for everyone, and for us to get Jannah in the Akhirah. Second point I want to make, which is specific to coronavirus. Coronavirus, as I mentioned, is a new virus. That's why it's called novel coronavirus, COVID-19, which means, in simple terms, that there is no human being on the face of the planet who has immunity to this. So potentially this virus can infect every single one of us on this earth, who lives on this earth. Now, how does it do that? There are three ways in which this infection spreads. One is person to person. What does that mean? It means that if you touch another human being, if you shake their hand, if you kiss them, if you hug them, if you touch them in any way, or if you cough on them, or if you sneeze on them, any way in which you touch them or droplets from your lungs touch them, they can get infected if you are infected. And vice versa, the same thing happens to you. If somebody coughs on you, if somebody shakes your hand, if somebody touches you, if somebody hugs you, and so on and so forth, you can get infected. That's one way, person to person infection. Second way of infection is through surfaces. This virus remains alive and well on any surface that is touched by an infected individual. Especially smooth, hard surfaces made of steel, of glass, of stone, of any kind of element like that. The virus stays there even better, but even other surfaces. How long it stays on and stays active and infectious? From few hours to few days. So what does that mean? It means that if one infected person climbed a staircase, or they went up a escalator, or they opened a door, or they were stood in a bus and held the handle, any of that, if they in a store, if they opened the door of the store, any infected person touched a surface, that surface is active infectiously, and anyone else who touches that surface gets that infection. Now imagine that happening in a store, in a mall, in any public place. There are thousands of people who would have touched those surfaces unknowingly, and every single one of them is infected. So this is how it spreads, the second way of spread. One is person to person, next one is surfaces. Third way in which this virus spreads is through shared ventilation. What does that mean? It means air conditioning, it means central heating. So if you enter a building which is air conditioned or centrally heated, climate controlled, and if there is even one person in that building who has this infection and they are breathing, obviously, that infection is in that building. Anybody who enters that building will get infected. Even if it's a courier delivery chap who walks in there for 5 minutes to deliver a package, that person is infected. If that courier delivery boy was himself infected before, that package which he gives you is infected, you touch that package, you get infected. This is how serious it is. Three ways, person to person, surfaces, including packages, letters, whatnot, and shared ventilation. One person has it on a plane, if the whole plane load gets it, and so on and so forth. So these are the three ways in which this virus spreads. Now, if this is not exciting enough, let me add one more detail which makes it really exciting. And that detail which is really exciting is that for 10 to 15 days after you have picked up the infection, you will probably not show any signs of that infection at all. Especially if you are young and healthy, you will not show any signs of the infection, but you are infected and you are spreading that infection. Now that's very exciting, because it means that anybody you meet on the street, including your sheikh, including your murid, including your wife, including your husband, including your son and daughter, nephew, cousin, grandchildren, whoever you meet anywhere is potentially infected and can infect you. Now, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will scare you. So please understand this very, very clearly. Therefore, the third thing which I wanted to speak to you. One, all knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Number two, this is the virus, this is the seriousness of this thing. Number three, what can we do to protect ourselves? As of now, there are again three things. One is to protect ourselves as per the knowledge which we know. And that's very simple. Isolate yourself. As far as possible, social distance, one of the new terminologies which has been invented thanks to this. As far as possible, isolate yourself. Stay by yourself in your home. Do not leave your home unless it is absolutely critical. And what is the meaning of critical? Critical means unless you need to go to hospital or unless you need to pick up food. There is nothing else which is critical. So stay inside your house. Number one, isolate yourself. Now, in terms of isolation, therefore, all congregations, now people have been throwing around numbers, politicians, religious heads, and so on and so forth. People said, like here in America, for example, in some states they said gatherings of not more than 250 people. Somebody, another governor says gatherings of not more than 100 people. Another one says gatherings of not more than 20 people. Please understand, even if one person touches one person, they get infected. So where is the question of 100 people? To say that we are restricting our gathering, whether it's in the masjid or whether it's in a shopping mall or some other reason for gathering, to 100 people is absolute nonsense. Because 100 people is too many people, is 99 more people than required. There is only one way of preventing, and that is isolation, which means shut down all places of congregation, whatever that place might be, whether it's a place of worship, whether it's a, you know, I mean, of course, here they have shut down all the games and the football and the basketball, everything is shut down, shut down shopping malls, shut down any place where people come together. My brothers and sisters, please understand, and I'm now speaking to the Muslims. Please understand, people who have been shutting down masajid, including 5 daily prayers, including Jummah, please understand, they also are people who love Allah. They are also people who love Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are also people who are very, very pained and heartbroken at being in a situation where they have to take the decision to shut down the mosque. It is like somebody who is on life support and one of the family members has to take a decision to pull out the plug of the life support. How painful is that? Right? Now that's how painful it is. So whoever it might be who has given the order to shut down the mosque, please have mercy on him and ask Allah to have mercy on him. If you were in his place, you would have to do that. Thank Allah that you are not in that person's place. It's a very painful decision, but support that decision. Be with that person. Don't make their life difficult by fighting that, by arguing and saying, no, why can't we have 5 daily prayers? Why can't we have this? Why can't we have that? No, you can't have that. The minimum thing which one can do as far as the 5 daily prayers are concerned is let the imam and the muezzin and maybe 1 or 2 people pray the 5 daily prayers, and when they pray also stand far apart, at least 6 feet apart, which is 2 meters apart from each other, not stand shoulder to shoulder in the saf, and quickly just do the first salah and go. That's it. If you need to do that. If not, pray at home. Alhamdulillah, shut the masjid down. Jummah, shut the Jummah down. No question of Jummah. Don't say that we have Jummah, we have restricted Jummah to 100 people, 50 people, 20 people. No. Do not have Jummah at all, because it's a congregational prayer. It is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted people to pray at home when it was raining heavily. He ordered the adhan to be called and to say, people pray at home. Right? Sallu fi buyutikum. Pray in your homes for heavy rain. Coronavirus is a lot more serious than heavy rain. We have enough and more evidence from the seerah, from the sunnah, to say that the steps being taken for self-isolation, for self-quarantine, for social distance are important. They must be taken, and that they are religiously completely correct. As I told you, even if we did not have evidence for that in our theology, we do have the evidence, but even if we didn't have that, if this decision was taken purely on the basis of scientific discovery and scientific opinion, in Islam, in the religion, that opinion would still have been correct. There is no question of doubting that. That opinion would still have been correct because, alhamdulillah, all knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not talking here theology, we are talking here science, because we are looking at a disease which is a physical thing. So therefore, support those who have ordered for masajid to be closed, prayers to be suspended, and please don't act like you have more taqwa than them. Make tawbah, make istighfar, fear arrogance, because that is the shortest and the grease slide into the pit of Jahannam. Anybody who is arrogant. So, and to think that you have and I have more taqwa than somebody else, this is arrogance. So please, the people who are doing this job, their job is hard enough as it is, support them. Please do not have congregations of 100 people, 50 people, 20 people. Just shut it down. That is very, very important. Because please understand, it's not just a matter of saving yourself. You should not become the means of somebody else to get this coronavirus. And you will be a means, because if you are allowing congregations to happen, then you are the cause for this infection to spread. If you are going into those congregations, then you are the cause for the infection to spread. Please pray at home, increase your infiradi amal, increase your individual amal, zikr, fasting, reading of Quran, praying at home. Pray at home, pray by jama'i with your family, but don't collect other other people. There is no need for you to have Jummah in your home. There is no dalil to make Jummah in the home. Jummah is a collective salah. It's a congregational salah, which is to be made in the biggest masjid in the town. Remember, as far as the Jummah is concerned, if there is a main big masjid in the town, it is not even permissible for you to have a separate Jummah in a small masjid. Right? Now, you must go and join the Jummah in the main masjid. Then how do you have Jummah by yourself in your home? Don't fall into all this. And if somebody is doing it, don't criticize them. Today, we are living in a completely new situation. Many different opinions are being created, and people are forming opinions and they are sharing opinions. Leave them alone. You do what you believe. Don't criticize people. And alhamdulillah, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help and His mercy. I request you to please spread this message. Let us be together. One final word, as far as Tabligh is concerned, Tabligh Jamaat also, my request to all the Tabligh elders, please stop all movements of Jamaats. Wherever Jamaats are, let them stay there or let them go back home to where they came from. But stop all movements of Jamaats. Do not go and meet people in their homes, because that defeats the whole purpose of social distance. Because you as a Jamaat person, you go from one house to another house to another house, you become the carrier, the vector for infection from one place to another place. Do not meet people in their homes. Do not sit in the masajid. Do not meet people in the masajid. Stop all travel until this matter is over, inshallah. There's a great danger in not doing that, because that will attract negative attention on the work of the Jamaat unnecessarily, and good work might get stopped. So let us not fall into that trap. Please stop all movements of all Jamaats, and tell our Jamaat people very clearly that they must not go anywhere, they must not meet people, just do infiradi amal, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will and pray and make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and for a cure. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.